Kicking it with Danny and Donnie. It's been a while, Danny, but I think we've had pretty good reason to take a hiatus. We had some time to enjoy the holiday season. I just moved back onto campus at Wingate, and you've got some news that I would like you to lead with as we start the 52nd episode. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, it's been a while, that's for sure. And like you said, it's been a good time having a Christmas break. Having a New Year's break is always nice, and something about the holiday season. I don't know about you, but there's just something about holiday season, holiday basketball. Starting on Christmas was just beautiful. I mean, it's been good, but yes, it's big news. I have finally graduated, and no, not from my master's, because that was already happened, but I'm graduated to the real world, Donnie. I just finally accepted a position, my first big boy job. Yes, starting February 1st. I'm very excited. Going to be doing a lot to help local nonprofits and social services through helping them get the best rates on insurance. So not exactly up the sports market, you know, like I guess I kind of assumed I would have been in sports to start, but hey, helping the community is number two on my list behind sports. So I'm excited, man. I'm really excited to learn the business, you know, create a new challenge for myself and, you know, keep it going. It's funny. It's been so long when you said kicking it with Danny and Donnie, I almost like, was caught up. I'm like, who's that? What? I thought we were we rebranded. But I do love it. Sounds good. Gets to the point. But yes, I'm excited to be back, man. Wow. It's been a while. But
it's been a while. We're gonna get back, of course, on our one a week, maybe even two a week. You know, once we continue to move forward, you know, as the weeks go on, athletics are gonna get pretty crazy here in terms of just workload. But you know, we always have time to fit in kicking it with Danny and Donnie.
We always find a way.
Of course. And, you know, I wanted to mention your sports fix can be the podcast. You know, exactly. You're doing insurance. You know, you said it's number one on your list. There you go. Every day. Right. Well, let's dive right in because a lot's happened between December 22nd and January 14th. But the main thing, I think the biggest thing happened yesterday, and that was James Harden. He's finally gone. James Hardy's nicknamed by Shannon Sharp, which honestly I saw and I thought it was a typo. And then I read it again. And I'm like, okay, that's. That's so good. James Hardy's.
I think Shannon Sharp honestly might be a must follow for any sports fan.
Oh, easily.
The must follow.
Easily. Have you heard his podcast, Club Shay Shay?
Yeah. Oh,
very
it's
good.
So funny.
Very
it's so good.
Good.
That, I think that's one of the best things that's come from lockdown, to be honest. Obviously, it's been tough for everybody, but the amount of content that entertainers have started to create and have developed, like even All the Smoke becoming way bigger than it was, like Ocho Cinco. I think it's called Life of an Athlete, something like that. I love it. It's like one of my favorite YouTube podcasts to watch. There's so much good content that's come out. And Shannon is just one of the many must follows in sports right now. Like Mr. Wojnarowski.
Oh my, I mean, if you don't have your Woj notifications on, I mean, I know I have mine. I have the Shams Charania ones on. I'm up to date, but I'm not going to lie to you. This, I feel like it's been like this for all sports, and I'm sure you could speak on it as well as a fan. For football, like college football just ended, you know, Alabama beat Ohio State, this and that, whatever. It didn't even feel like there was a real season. It just felt so off. And that could have been due to other things that I was interested in this past spring or fall, I should say, other things that occupied our time. But I feel like that with basketball right now, like I'm happy it's back, but it's just, it's weird because I think we were both expecting it to come back like February, maybe early March. And for it to have come back as early as it did, I don't know, it's kind of weird. It's kind of in a lull right now.
No, I agree. Honestly, I've been trying to get on the games, and me and my dad have league pass. You know, we get it every year. We love watching the Warriors, obviously with them being West Coast and not really as prominent of a team as they once were. It's hard to get on primetime TVs. You know, we got to find a way to watch our Dubs play. Whereas during the Dynasty years, you know, they were on ESPN almost every night, but it's hard to catch a game. Like, you know, I watch the Hornets now because, you know, I never left the bandwagon, but, you know, sometimes on that Hornets bandwagon, you got to be a bit quiet considering not much is going on most of the time, but I've been trying to catch LaMelo, the young nucleus of guys. You know, I'm so excited about this team, but sitting there watching a full, just a basic game, you know, a basic primetime game, it's not the same. Mm-hmm. The limited to no crowds, the fake crowd noise just looks different with the bubble. And to be honest, you know what this really like leads me to say, which I think we underappreciated when it was going on, is the quality of the production during the bubble. Like that was because we talked about it. Oh, the crowd noise is kind of weird, and the screen, seeing all the people, it's very strange, you know. But the guys loved it, you know. Jason Tatum was talking about how it was like playing, you know, just running fives with the guys at the park. You know, it was just that type of atmosphere. But you know, we really did take that for granted. I think I enjoyed the bubble so much more than I enjoy what we're watching now. Obviously the playoffs had something to do with it and how tight the games were. And I hope that they do that, but the bubble was a good move for me. I don't think that's something they should have ran away from. Obviously having way more teams makes it difficult, but I don't know. I'm with you. Like, it's sports right now is a bit of a lull just in terms of the excitement. You know, there aren't too many sports, you know, similar to like the UFC boxing right now, that's like taking advantage of the quarantine. You know, they're putting on big fights. Obviously you're seeing Jake Paul and Mike Tyson and these types of people in the news, but at the end of the day, you want to stay relevant. And for me, college football was just slightly more irrelevant than it was normally. College basketball as well. And the NFL even, like, we're in the playoffs right now, and it's tough. I mean, it's tough to just sit there and watch a full game with limited crowds. It's just a weird environment, you know? So I'm with you, but I mean, granted, moves like the one that we saw yesterday, they keep you engaged.
Oh my gosh.
They keep you engaged as a fan.
Let's get into it, because it was one that had a lot of lasting effects for other teams, not just the Rockets and not just the Nets. When you look at this James Harden trade, obviously he's the big, you know, attention grabber when it comes to the exact trade. First glance, though, before I read the details, does Brooklyn really improve in your eyes?
If we're being honest, you know, and I looked at all the options, and obviously I was scared about the Philly option, because obviously I want to see Ben Simmons stay in Philly with Doc and develop a little bit more. And I know he was on the table, him and Tyrese Maxey, which I thought was crazy that they would ask for both of their future backcourt, because you saw what Maxey did when Simmons was out. He dropped a smooth 39. It's like, ooh, Maxey's pretty nice. I mean, we knew that. We kind of knew that coming out of college. He's a beast. But, man, honestly, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they do, because what do we always talk about being a problem on teams? Too many ball handlers. And Kyrie, whether he wants to play or not, is a ball handler. We know James Harden is the ball handler of all ball handlers. Nobody handles the ball more than him. Hence why him and Chris Paul were an off and on duo. And then you add in maybe the best scorer in the NBA right now. Like, the two best scorers in the NBA right now on the same team, and two of the most pertinent ball handlers in the NBA. It's just one of those things where it's like, is it too many cooks in the kitchen? Because people talk about the Warriors, right? Their super team. The reason that super team worked is because the identities of all the guys were different. Steph can play on the ball and off the ball. Klay is purely off the ball. KD can do both, and he's they're great defenders. Klay's a great defender. KD was a great defender. He had Draymond, who didn't need any points. He put up the triple single, as the guys like to say, but he did his job. And I think that's why they worked. There was no ego involved. Like, you know, the ego was Draymond and KD going at it. There was none from the big guys. When we're talking about KD, who has, as he's gotten older and more experienced, become more sensitive with the media, more sensitive to criticism, we know what Kyrie brings to the table in terms of inconsistency, being in and out. And Harden, sometimes we don't even know what to get from him right now. Like, is he all of a sudden going to flip this passion switch and chase an NBA title? When it seemed like for the last however many years he was chasing a scoring title more than anything else. It's just, I don't know if this makes them better. I thought, Donnie, I don't know about you. As soon as I got the notification, Harden to the Nets, I immediately thought the Rockets took Kyrie and dished him to somebody else in the trade. Maybe they dished him to Indiana. Yeah. So, like, Oladipo went, and then he went to Indiana with LeVert or like something. I was not thinking at all Kyrie would stay. I was not thinking at all. I think that's the worst thing they could have done. And I think this leads me to think they're getting ready to dish Kyrie. I just can't see anything else happening.
I don't know. I think that, you know, at first glance, it was yesterday. I was talking to Trey Harrell, our good friend, and Sam Hyman right before our broadcast. And we were shocked that it was like, okay, you do all this, but Kyrie doesn't move. But honestly, I think that if this trade would have happened 2 weeks ago and Kyrie wasn't moved, it would have been an uproar. Like, what are you doing? Why are you not getting Kyrie, any of these teams? But with the antics he's put on display lately, and that's the thing, though. You could say antics, but I think he has good intentions. What he's done off the court in terms of giving money and, you know, allocating funds and speaking up for social justice. That's all. That's great. Like, I will never be one to knock a man down for doing that, man or woman, whatever. But you have a job and it's simple. It's to play basketball. And I'm sorry that, well, actually, no, I'm not sorry. I wouldn't be sorry if I was making upwards of 20, 30 million a year to play a sport. I mean, if you look at it simple, I get that, you know, everybody has their breaking point. Everybody's different. But come on. Like, you know, you're there. You're with KD. You've now got James Harden. You've got a good culture around you. You're where you want to be. What's the problem? And I agree with Stephen A. I think he should retire at this point, because if it's going to continue to be like this, either he's going to retire or, like you said, Brooklyn's going to just ship him away, because this is a joke. And I'm sorry. I'm so sick of seeing it in the news, because we know that unless something changes in terms of his scenery, or he actually comes out and says, okay, I will do this, this, and that, it's going to be the same thing. It's like, it's the definition of insanity. Expecting something to change when the same thing is being done over and over again. No, it's not. But that leads me to answer the question that I asked you. I think the Nets got worse, to be honest with you, because they got rid of, I'll read the trade right now. The Rockets ended up getting Kurucs, Dante Exum, and Victor Oladipo from the Pacers. But they got Kurucs and Exum for 4 unprotected first-round picks and 4 unprotected first-round pick swaps, which is huge. The Nets get James Harden, of course. The Pacers get Caris LeVert and a 2023 second rounder. The Cavaliers get Jared Allen and Torian Prince. So not only do you lose Caris LeVert, you lose Jared Allen, you lose Torian Prince, you lose Kurucs, you lose a ton of picks, you lose your future. You do. And you're gambling on a guy that's gotten nicknamed James Hardy's because of how terrible he looks physically. He's not even playing that well. And yeah, that probably is a product of him being unhappy, but still. I mean, why would you want that on your team? Why? I get that he's a once-in-a-lifetime scorer, if you want to even call that. I'll say once every 15 years. But this doesn't make them better, in my opinion. I think that, and I don't want to sit there and toot my own horn, I said that the Sixers were going to figure it out. And right now, they are sitting pretty much at first place in the East right now. So, you know, I'm happy they didn't make the move. But part of me wanted to see Ben Simmons with the Rockets, because I like what the Rockets have. You look at the Rockets now, John Wall, Oladipo, Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker. You got a solid squad. I think the Rockets won this trade by far. I think that happens generally in any sense when you trade a star like that. I know I'm on a rant right now, but what do you think? What are some other reactions you have besides focused on, you know, the Dribble Brothers opposed to the Splash Brothers, like Charles Barkley said tonight?
No, it's funny because I was about to say that, and I'm glad you brought that up so I can transition into it. Brooklyn gets a star. Like, let's not take it away, right? If Brooklyn's idea was create the Eastern Conference All-Star starting five, like if that was what they wanted to do and just gamble their entire future. I don't know if people catch my tweet that I had, I believe, yesterday. Brooklyn just gambled their entire future. I mean, the next 10 years of their franchise, 15 years of their franchise, to win in the next 2 or 3 years with a guy who not only believes the earth is flat, but does not want to show up to game. Like, he just doesn't want to play right now. And a guy who literally has said on multiple, he gave up on the Rockets. I mean, gave up. Like, he went in that press conference after, he's like, I don't know what to do. He basically gave up. He threw his hands in the air. Donnie, tell me another time where a guy with that attitude, who has demanded out and, you know, pulled the I want out of here, and, you know, Westbrook said he wanted out, Paul George has demanded trades, and these guys demand trades. When has that worked? When has that guy all of a sudden flipped the switch from – because let's be real. If Harden's quitting on a franchise that gave him everything, a franchise that gave him Chris Paul to try and win a championship and couldn't, a franchise that has – tried to sign countless free agents in the offseason to make them better, who's completely changed the strategy of their team to shoot 63s a game, could not get it done.
Don't forget Russ.
That's crazy. That I forgot about. But that's probably the least of those. But
it's another, man, I don't mean to cut you off. It's another way of mortgaging your future, what they did in that trade.
Right. And for me,
it's the same thing.
I think you hit it dead on with the last thing you said, is that the Rockets won this trade, not Brooklyn. Because I've been talking about Brooklyn all the time. Man, you know me, and you're the same. We love us some Caris LeVert. Like, that dude is a problem. And I think – I can't remember who said it. Maybe CJ McCollum or somebody tweeted, LeVert's going now to the Pacers. Now you're going to see what he's really made of. Now
I was going to say LeVert. I think that the Pacers are the second winners of this trade. And then I would say the Cavs, and then the Nets are last. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah. Until it's kind of like saying, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see Kyrie step on the floor, dance around, give it to KD. KD drives baseline and hits Harden for a step back three. Okay, sure. We'll see. But it's kind of like 2K. You know, only so many guys can score. Only so many guys. I mean, it's one ball. It's one ball. And yeah. I want to mention, too, one analogy that I heard on Bill Simmons' podcast. When it comes to trading a guy like this, you don't – he was saying you shouldn't trade unless you get someone back that's worth not the exact amount, of course, but close to. He's like basically saying don't trade a dollar for four quarters, which I get. But at the same time, with Harden, it got so bad. I feel so bad for Steven Silas. I know we mentioned that early on when these rumors happened. What a terrible first gig. But I'm happy, though, that he's got guys like John Wall, Boogie Cousins – Christian Wood, who's probably going to win most improved. I'm sad I didn't pick him because that would have been an easy one. And then, of course, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, other guys on that team, you know. And then, of course, adding in now Oladipo, the finishing touch. I mean, that happened, I think, right after the Harden news broke. It was like, okay, Harden's to Brooklyn. And then, wait a second, Oladipo's going to Houston. And so that was like, oh, easy, they win.
I do want to ask you.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I don't want to interrupt, but if you think about it, right, when you look at Houston's roster right now, you think about the guys you mentioned, right, having the, kind of the main nucleus be Victor, John Wall, Cousins, right, all different positions. So that in its own right was a smart move. Oladipo ain't handling the ball all the time. He had a Brogdon. He had guys like this. He had guys to carry the ball in front of him, right? So you have that. And then the amount of picks that they have to be, in my opinion, when you see a trade like this and you see a team that's got like first round picks, an extra first round pick in like the next 7 years. Like we've seen this. Donnie, let's be honest. They normally suck. Like they normally traded away a top player to get all that. You're telling me this team has Oladipo, John Wall. People need to remember how good DeMarcus Cousins is. If that man finds his step again, man, we're forgetting that this guy would put up 40 and 20 for the Pelicans. Easy. After the Kings, he would put up 40 and 20. And like you said, Christian Wood, and they have a good defensive nucleus. And now you're adding first-round picks everywhere, just adding first-round pick at the first-round pick. They're going to get the choices of these draft classes that are coming that are loaded, especially when you've now got that league. What is it, the G League, D League, whatever that they're calling it.
Yeah, where it's literally just going to funnel guys right through.
It's what I'm saying. Like, it's now – I think the NBA has done the best in all the top sports leagues now at funneling talent in. We're going to see the craziest classes of talent. Dudes having the ability. Because, right, we see those guys who make that jump in the NBA in the first year where we're like, wow, where did you come from? I can't believe you did that. Now we're going to see it in that league, and the draft class are going to be even more packed. Getting picks right now is more valuable than getting picks in the last 3 years. I believe that wholeheartedly. And now the Rockets have all this. The Rockets got out of this like an accomplice to a bank robbery where they got out the corner and everybody else got caught. That's what just happened right now. Because at the end of the day, the Rockets weren't winning with James Harden. So what's the worst that can happen? True. You're going to be competitive. You're going to be top five, top six in the West for the next 8 years. Like, that's pretty good. A lot of, you know, the Spurs, for example, they sneak a championship in there every now and again, but they're always right there. Obviously, right now, that's tough to say. But they were right there for how many years? This is what the Rockets get out of this. Brooklyn gets a couple of years, maybe. Kyrie might retire. And that's a team now, the Nets, with what's their bench looking like right now? After they traded away LeVert, Allen, Prince, who I love, by the way.
They have Bruce Brown, I know off the top of my head. Joe Harris. Well, he'll probably start.
It'll be those three, Harris, that will start?
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably, yeah, Kyrie, James, Joe Harris, KD, and DeAndre Jordan. So yeah,
that team right there, hey. Did I pick them to make the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals, or the NBA Finals? Yeah. I mean, I still, I don't change that. To be honest, like, do I think they got worse? I think they're about the same. Truthfully, that's for me. If they lose Kyrie, honestly, I think they get better because then it allows.
I agree. That's
right.
But that's what I'm saying. Yes.
But when you talk about, you know, we've talked about this before. I don't believe Giannis can win in the Milwaukee regime right now. That's just my belief. But I respect that a whole hell of a lot more than Harden walking up to the podium and quitting to get traded to a super, super, super team, right? Like what KD did is looking like a little less stingy, right? Like Harden joining KD and Kyrie is a little bit more than Steph and Draymond, who everybody roasts, right? It's like KD does all this, but they roast Draymond. Draymond's a big part of why that team was a super team, whether you want to freaking believe me or not.
We've got the biggest Draymond stan ever.
100%
in this
Zoom. You're absolutely right. Draymond Green and Ben Simmons, I want them on my tombstone next to my own name. I will go down with those two till the death. If it's the apocalypse comes, I want those two by my side. But tell me this, Donnie. I know this is a bit of a transition, and if you want to get back on this conversation, please, but I want to ask you this. When you talk about Brooklyn, you talk about Milwaukee, and you talk about Philly, what just tell me, like the starting five for Philly, what are the Nets doing with Ben Simmons? Are they putting KD on him? So KD has to chase around the point guard at the top of the key all day making a sit, because you're not going to put Kyrie on him. You're not going to put Joe Harris on him, I hope. And you're not going to put James no defense Hardy's on him. So Ben Simmons is going to run all over. And you're telling me DeAndre Jordan's got the defensive footwork to stay with a guy who's in the top three for MVP voting if it stopped today in Joel Embiid, who's been putting 40 and 15 up on dudes in his sleep? It's like, we've talked about this all the time, Donnie. It's matchups. That was our whole thing. What's Miami going to do with what's Milwaukee going to do with Jimmy Butler and Tyler Herro and guys like that? Because we know how tough Bam can be on Giannis. We know they're going to put pressure on him. We know they're going to put two guys in the paint. We know what Philly was going to do against Giannis. But now what do you do against them? Because in my opinion, the Bucks are a tougher matchup for Philly than Brooklyn right now in terms of a starting five. Do I still have Brooklyn winning right now? Yes. Do I still think Milwaukee will end up above Philly? Yes. Would I love to see that in the Eastern Conference semis? Bet your ass I would. That would be one hell of a series. I would love that. But if you're thinking about it, like, Brooklyn better get the number one. Like, they better figure it out and get the number one. Because if Brooklyn right now gets stuck, maybe they get four. Let's just say, right, they somehow drop to four, which I don't see happening. I think they're top three. But they get stuck with, like, a Miami first round, maybe a Boston who's going to run them ragged. And then they see Milwaukee in the semi, and then they got to go play Philly. That's a tough road. I mean, Toronto did it, right? Like, they did something similar when they had Kawhi. But it's a tough one. So I want to hear that from you. What do you think now? What does the landscape in the East look like? Who's now the favorite? Did the favorite change? You know, am I right with my assessment of Philly? I believe that I am. So I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, no, I mean, you knew early on, surprisingly, I was higher on Philly than besides the Bucks. I had Philly right there too. I've been high on them for a multitude of reasons. I think that they finally realized, especially even though it felt longer than it did, especially after last year, how if you surround Ben Simmons with shooters, actual shooters, you're going to be solid. And they were Kawhi bounce jump shot away from probably an NBA finals. Honestly, I don't know if Milwaukee could have handled them in that Eastern Conference finals. And I'm trying to say that objectively. But I would say, yeah.
I disagree, just because I think with no Kawhi, Giannis gets to the finals. But I'm with you with that thought process.
I don't know. I thought so. And I was two games away, but we're not going to talk about that. I would say that Philly is still right there. And I think you still have to factor in Boston. You still have to factor in, potentially Indiana now. You still have to factor in the somehow solid Orlando Magic, and the Charlotte Hornets are in seven. It's just so hard to look at right now, because then you look at it, the Heat are 4-5, the Knicks are 5-7. It's such a log jam right now. So it's like looking in a puddle of muddy water. You can't really see what's going on right now. But I would say in no order, Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, Nets, all right there. Honestly, could go like that. It could go 1-4. Because I really like Boston's team, but it could go opposite. It could go Nets, Sixers, Bucks, Celtics. I mean, I don't know. I would lean towards more so Philly having a better chance at the one seed than I would Brooklyn, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I understand.
Moving forward, though, I wanted to ask you, I don't even know why I'm bringing this up, because I might get you on your soapbox for an hour. What does it say about LeBron, this deal? Are you okay? Answer me this. Are you going to be one of those people that sits there and shakes their head like you are right now, saying, Goat James this, Goat James that, or are you going to see it for what it is, that Harden just hated being in Houston for some reason and he wanted to play with KD and Kyrie?
Honestly, it's a bit of both. I honestly do feel a bit of both. And I'm going to try my best not to go on a tangent, because we all know my true belief on this subject that you started with. But I think it's a bit of both. I think you're almost even a little bit off when you say Harden wanted to go play with those two, because that wasn't even what we were talking about. That's what Kyrie and KD had been talking about in the offseason. They want to play together. They want to go to Brooklyn, Showtime. Harden just wanted out. He switched the teams he wanted to go to 10 times. There was conversations of him going to Golden State. I mean, like that was, and he wasn't coming out saying no. It was Philly. It was Brooklyn. It was anyone. The guy would have gone to Atlanta. Like, he would have gone anywhere to get out of Houston. And I would love to know why. I would love for him to come out and talk a little bit more about why. Because it's not like they didn't have the pieces the last few years. It's not like they didn't have opportunities to win championships. They did. They were 3-2 up on Golden State. Like, Chris Paul got injured, but that's another conversation. But if I'm being honest with you, I do think this had something to do with LeBron. I don't think you can be honest with yourself and say there was not 1% of Brooklyn that thought, yeah, I think we can beat those Lakers. I think so right now. But with what Kyrie's doing, let's get some reinforcements. Let's get another chance to win. Here's what I want to respond with a question before I even go off on a tangent. Now, a Brooklyn roster that, let's just say Kyrie stays. They figured out it's Kyrie, Harden, KD. LeBron wins that championship. Is that tougher than the 73-9 Warriors team that he beat? Is that more impressive?
I saw this on Twitter, and no.
Really?
No, I don't think it is. I think because Golden State had the pedigree. They had a 73-9 team a year before. Or no, I'm sorry, that year. They were winners. Brooklyn right now, if they get to the finals, there's no way they're going to – I know it's 72 games. Not like it's going to matter. Brooklyn's not going to walk in there 60-12, or probably even anything close to that. They're going to walk in probably off of a good bit of luck, probably some taped, glued chemistry that's not really genuine, kind of like a fourth grade project. You're just trying to finish it the night before, and there's little glue stick. There's little popsicle sticks glued to one side. That's what Brooklyn's going to look like, I think, if they get to the finals. So no, I would say that LeBron's win in 2016 over Golden State might be one of the most impressive and dominant performances overall in championship history across all sports, much less basketball. So no, I think that his 2016 run's more impressive. This one is just, it to me, it's, I wouldn't say too little too late, but I kind of, yeah, because I think the Lakers are just, they're going to steamroll anyone out of the East. And I hate to say that as a Bucks fan, but they will. I think they're too good.
Yeah, and honestly, I can understand that. The reason I asked that is because, you know, I was the same as you. I saw it on Twitter, and I started comparing, right? And I get what you're saying in terms of the winning pedigree. Granted, he only won once. Like, he only won one championship.
But still, to win one.
I get it. But KD has two rings. He's got championship pedigree. And granted, Is he coming off an injury? Yes. But is he chasing an MVP right now like I said he was? Absolutely. That dude's coming out every night. He looks like he has not lost a step. Let's call it what it is. He looks like he hasn't lost a step. The first game, we were already crowning Brooklyn champions because it looked like Kyrie and KD were the best duo in the history of the NBA. It was like, who's Jordan and Pippen? Who's LeBron and AD? It's like KD. You remember that. Don't lie. You know you saw that on Twitter.
No. I'm not denying it.
Is KD and Kyrie a better duo than LeBron and AD? That was a genuine question. Ridiculous, but a genuine question. Now you're adding, like you said, once in a 15-year, 20-year score in James Harden, who's won an MVP, who's never been to a final. Well, now he wasn't. Went to a finals at OKC. Obviously, he was younger. But Kyrie's won a title. It's like, when I look at it, I'm like, I get what you're saying. I would have been more impressed, truthfully, had they beaten that Brooklyn team that we saw on opening night, that world-beating Brooklyn, had they kept that pedigree all year with that bench, with LeVert, with Jared Allen, all those guys playing well, and LeBron beat that team. I would have been more impressed than if he beats this team with a James Harden who seems like he's falling apart at the seams. Kyrie, who doesn't even want to be at practice. Like, he doesn't even want to play right now, it doesn't seem like. And now they have no bench. So I'm kind of with you. Like, I need to think about it hard, you know, go through my formulas and whatnot, my diagnosis of the situation. But, man, I think it would be impressive. Like, you know. It would be impressive.
I'm not going to say it's not. I'm just saying, and you look at it and you compare it, Brooklyn – just no, No, I can't really put a finger on why, but my gut tells me no, just because Steph had already won an MVP. It was more of a, it was, and to me though, when you look at the Warriors, one thing that I will tip my cap to them too, they built that team from within. They drafted, they were smart, they developed, they brought in vets, they had a great coach that came in. I still can't forget though, Steve Kerr almost was the head coach of the Knicks. Let's not forget that. That would have been, who knows what would have happened in the NBA landscape through like 2014 through 2018. But no, I think that you're right to bring up the question because it's valid, because I think you really could go either way. But for me, that Warriors team that LeBron dethroned, if you will, I'll never forget. Those games, the 5, 6, and 7, unbelievable. I mean, I wish we could go relive those.
It was, and to be honest, part of me is wants to see. I want to see what we wanted to see last year with LeBron versus Giannis in the champion in the finals. We both wanted that, right? So bad. Even though you did believe the Clippers were going to get there, oopsies. But you know, obviously, people make mistakes. But this year, what if LeBron beats Kawhi in the conference finals, and then KD, because it's going to be KD and Bron one-on-one. For me, I just can't overlook that. I get what you're saying. Absolutely. Beating those Warriors was incredible. 100%. But he's going to have to go one-on-one with Kawhi all series long if they play the Clippers, and he will have to go one-on-one with KD all series long in the finals. Like, all series long. If it's the Bucks, it'll be AD is going to have Giannis, right? Like, that's what we know will happen, and that's impressive, but that just feeds the LeBron shouldn't get the finals. If LeBron beats Kawhi in the Western Conference final, one-on-one, the whole series, and then does the same thing to KD, first of all, that's another finals MVP, for sure. We know that. But that's got to count for something, man, for semifinals. Because think about what he did in the East when he won in the conference finals. It was like when he beats the Celtics that year. Ooh, I mean, like, that was a series. Like, when you beat the Hawks in 4, when you beat, like, you know what I mean? Like, you beat some of these teams so bad. The Bulls, like, I mean, they gave him a good series in there, but it's like, man, Pacers even gave him a good series, but it's like to beat Kawhi and then beat KD. For me, like, I think that back-to-back would be the toughest. For me, the toughest, definitely, and that would just cement him again as the greatest, in my opinion.
There's also a good chance that it might not even be those two guys.
It's exactly right.
No, it might be. It might be. Yeah, LeBron beating maybe a Phoenix team, a Denver team, and then beating Giannis, which would still be a good accomplishment, but it could be severely less.
But that certainly took away from this one, right? Like, that took away from this year, beating Denver in relatively easily, and then beating the Miami team that people were laughing at in the finals, which I think we both slightly disagreed with in terms of laughing, but we knew they weren't up to scratch. But this year, man, I want to see some competitive championships, you know, conference championships and a damn competitive NBA finals, because we knew what was happening in the bubble. As soon as the Clippers gagged away their chance, we knew it was over. We all knew it was over. I mean, so I don't want to see that this year, right? I want to see LeBron earn it a little bit more than he did this year and cement that legacy. That's what I obviously want to see as a LeBron fan.
To close things out, I want to ask you point blank, and I'll respond after. Should the NBA shut down for 2 weeks because of all the games that have been canceled and postponed?
Yes, and my reason why is because when I looked at the NFL, I don't want to be the person to do this. I don't want to be the person to make excuses and whatever, but you cannot tell me that with what happened with teams moving bye weeks and whatever did not mess with the Steelers. Like, you cannot tell me the Steelers Steelers team, who started out, what, 9-0?
11-0
was not affected by consistently having to move their days off, consistently having to move bye weeks, consistently have to adjust their schedule for other teams. And now look, they had to adjust for Baltimore, who's running and they're still going in the playoffs right now. They had to move for Baltimore, who's still going in the playoffs, who's fresh with 42 COVID cases. Somehow they're still fresh because they got to move around so much. And Pittsburgh is gone, bounced already. So it's like, that's why I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see there be games postponed and then somehow it gets moved back. And right before the playoffs, it's like one team's got to have a barge. Just shut down. Let's fix what's going on. If you can't come up with a strategy, let's start talking two bubbles again. And then let's freaking go. I don't understand, like, why we were so quick to run away from a two bubble situation. We had how many teams in the bubble? 17, 19, however many teams it was. A good amount of teams in the bubble. Why are we not?
It's about 2/3. Yeah. Yeah. I, not to cut you off, but I agree. I think that if they ended up shutting down for 2 weeks, it's more so putting stitches on a place that they're probably leaning on towards putting a Band-Aid, you know, a temporary fix. When you put the stitches on, you know, figuratively, that's 2 weeks shut down. Everybody, you know, get well. And then tightening up the protocols, because I don't want to sit here and be a stickler, but come on, these guys after the game, hugging, dapping each other up, talking to each other, no masks on. I mean, what do you expect? It's, you know, it's going to happen. You're going to spread it, you know, and someone's got it that you don't know. It's just so.
And that was fine during the bubble.
Right, exactly. Because fine. You knew, right. You could go up and hug people, pick them up and do whatever. But now it's just a different ballgame. That's going to wrap it up for episode 52. Do you have any final thoughts? Anything to close with? Anything to look forward to these next few weeks?
Yeah, man. First of all, I hope you're right. I do hope that they close down the NBA for a couple of weeks. I think it's smart. I hate seeing postponed games. It just messes with everybody, you know? It messes with the rhythm. And I know, you know, the amount these guys had to deal with the bubble, you know, being away from their families and things like along those lines. Now we're seeing dudes are going to have to quarantine in and out, health and safety protocols. Like, I just can't imagine the inconsistency. And we're going to eventually see, you know, the product happen. We're going to see the product dampen. We're going to see it be less intense. I don't want it to turn into what the other leagues look like. So I hope not. Obviously, the thing I am the most excited about in 9 days is the return of the Mac. Conor McGregor is back January 23rd, which is the architect, El Chapo's birthday as well. Can't believe that. Imagine that. The biggest Conor McGregor fan in the world. He fights on his birthday.
I mean, they probably talked about it. I mean, let's be honest.
He probably called him. He called up Dana. He said, hey, I need a ticket to Abu Dhabi, Yas Island, to watch Conor fight. Dana said, we'll make it happen. It's ridiculous, but I'm excited for that fight. Coming back against Dustin Poirier, for those who don't know. UFC 257. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be such a good fight card. Apparently, the production, all of the just everything, right? The electronics of the event, the production of the event is going to be bar none. Pay for the pay-per-view, buy it, and then send El Chapo a message for his birthday. So that's what I'm looking forward to. 9 days away. Man, Conor McGregor's back.
Unbelievable. Retired, air quotes.
Yeah, of course.
That's going to be
like
fun.
Michael Jordan.
Exactly. We've got NFL, we've got football, the divisional round this weekend. We've got a lot of NBA, maybe. We'll see if they don't get shut down. But other than that, we're going to be looking forward to bringing you all some really, really high-quality guests as we move forward, getting back to about one episode a week, maybe more, depending on what you all want, what our schedules allow us to do. But that's going to do it. Episode 52 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie is in the books. Stay safe. We are out.